Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, Bill O'Brien's got to make some decisions tomorrow. He could also make some additions. Roster's got to be trimmed to 53. Tomorrow, Texans 6 days away from playing. We've been wondering about whether or not Kiki QT would get out of the doghouse. Here's Bill O'Brien a couple days before he had to make said decision, talking about the status of Kiki QT as the cuts are made.
Yeah, Kiki looked good last night. I mean, he was cutting off of his foot and doing some good things. And, you know, he returned kicks. He played in the slot, played on the outside. He ran reverses. He did a lot of different things. So, you know, he looked pretty good.
Okay. He looked pretty good. Look, we were mentioning yesterday and earlier today, this is a very set roster, but there still are going to be some cuts that surprise us. There always are. Maybe not as surprised as others. I've been back and forth on Kiki QT all preseason, throughout training camp. I feel today, and we'll find out tomorrow. We're getting close. I feel today, Landry, he's going to make the squad. I feel like he will make the squad. It's going to be some hard math at the receiver position to make them all fit, but I think he will.
I think that I think he's on the squad as well. I 100% do think that Kiki QT is going to be on the squad, 100%. I don't see any reason why he would not be, but I think that I think that it's going to be a situation where I don't know how many tight ends they're going to keep. I don't know how many receivers, but I do think Kiki QT is going to be on this roster. I 100% believe that.
And, you know, more so if you consider, okay, no more DeAndre Hopkins, no more Alpha, you know, out there, and they're going to have to be swapping people around on this in this receiver core. You know, where are they going to all lined up, inside, outside? Maybe there'll be some in the backfields even on some sets. We don't know because Tim Kelly hasn't, you know, that's one advantage Tim Kelly has. He hasn't really shown his hand on how he's going to run this offense with so many receivers and so many guys that can catch the ball out of the backfield. I think QT is going to benefit from that. I really do. I feel as if had he been able to do more and stay healthy and maybe gotten some more reps returning a punts and kicks or kicks, I would feel much better about it, but I think today he's going to make it.
I think he's going to make it as well. I think he is safe. I think Kahale Waring is safe. Jordan Thomas could be one of those surprise cuts. I mean, I know we've raved about him. I know we've talked about how he's looked better than Kahale Waring in training camp at times, or at least the times that I was there out there. But Jordan Thomas would be one of those guys to look out for. I think Colin Gillespie is a guy to look out for as a potential cut on defense. I don't know that there's any guys that would surprise you, but I think those are the guys, the fullbacks, the tight ends, are the guys to keep an eye on when it comes to who the Texans decide to cut. And you also got to keep in mind there's going to be other guys cut around teams, so that could impact why it might not make sense for the Texans to cut certain guys now as other positions become available, then maybe it would make sense then. It's going to be a very busy weekend for Bill O'Brien, and the disadvantage that he's at is that there's a lot of coaches that are going to be going through this, but they're going to have a whole week to prepare. He's going to have that short week, just 4 days, and some decisions to make.
That's absolutely true. And not only that, I mean, well, first of all, you mentioned Cullen Gillespie, and I think he's on the bubble just because, you know, availability, you know, is the best ability, as they say, and he just hasn't been around. I think they had plans for him. I think they had plans to expand his role. I mean, they mentioned it as much. But I don't know. I mean, he hadn't really done a whole lot on the field, so he could be on the bubble. On your other point with Jordan Thomas, they've got to keep four tight ends. They have to keep four tight ends. Dylan Stapleton got hurt and got the injury settlement. Kahale Waring is completely unproven, so you got to keep Jordan Thomas. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's just a must right there. The other interesting one to me is, you know, in the secondary, you know, we know the front end guys, but there are a lot of bodies back there, man. There's a lot of bodies back there that there might be a surprise there.
John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you on a Football Friday. So those are the cuts. Those are the guys to look out for. We got you covered on Sports Radio 610 as far as that. What about the guys that are going to start? Because we kind of saw the light yesterday. Wade Smith actually co-signed on this. It appears that A.J. Moore is likely going to be the starting safety. It just seems that way. You kind of get that feel. Eric Murray is still going to be on the field a lot, but it just feels like A.J. Moore is the starting safety, just with context clues. But I want to do a little exercise here in which we take a side-by-side analysis of both A.J. Moore and Eric Murray from the guy that's going to start by either one, Justin Reed. And I want you to tell me if there's anything to read here as to who could be the starting safety, the backbone of the defense when the Texans take on the Chiefs. Here's Justin Reed first on one of the biggest heroes of training camp, A.J. Moore.
I expect a lot from him because I know he can handle it. He's a workhorse. He's one of our special teams leaders, and I've seen him continue to grow ever since. You know, we're the same class, so we came in on the defensive side of the ball too, and being able to start making plays, playing with the ones on defense. You know, I've seen him growing a lot, and he's excited about it. He's going to bring a lot of energy to the table. He's a guy that never gets tired. And as long as he keeps making plays and starts doing it on Sundays, you know what I mean? I can't be more excited to watch him go do his thing.
Man, I mean, people can't shut up about him. I mean, they just go on and on and on about it. It's like Bill Belichick talking about Cam Newton when it comes to A.J. Moore. But people just go on and on and rave about him.
Here is Eric Murray, who got that contract that surprised a lot of people, $6 million this year, $6 million next year. Here's Justin Reed. You heard him talk about A.J. Moore. Here's him talking about Eric Murray.
Very intelligent player, first and foremost. You just understand that just from talking to him, he understands ball. He's been in a variety of systems. He's played corner, safety, star. Very knowledgeable. He's a technician in his craft, too. As far as when you look at his fundamentals, his hand placement, his footwork, very keen on the details. And it's been a joy to play with him. I mean, I've had the most fun playing alongside him in the 3 years that I've played in the league so far. And I'm excited for what that's going to be able to do for us during the season. And our interchangeability, the ability to disguise, to move around, just to talk ball. We were just talking last night, texting at almost midnight, just talking about the Kansas City Chiefs and how practice was. So we have that open line of communication between each other to where we talk all the time. And it's been a great partnership.
All right. I mean, not a lot of difference there, huh?
Not a lot. Not a lot. Yeah. We'll see. He called him smart. He called him a guy that's versatile. I think this is something to keep an eye on as the season comes through. Who's going to be starting at safety? Really, you're going to have six DBs out there no matter what when it comes to facing the Kansas City Chiefs, but the safety position is something to keep an eye on. The other thing, and a lot of guys, I don't want to say you benefit from injury, but you expected some guys to be pushed, and they weren't necessarily pushed because of injury. Kahale Waring, one of those guys. Cullen Gillespie can line up at tight end. He could line up at fullback. He could have been one of those guys that would have pushed Gillespie along with Dylan Stapleton, but both of those guys go down, so Kahale Waring is safe. Brennan Scarlett, you drafted Jonathan Grenard, the leading sack and tackle for loss guy in the SEC last year. You thought maybe or hoped maybe he would push Scarlett. he might start the season out on injured reserve because he's missed about 2 weeks of practice, hasn't gotten much action. So Brennan Scarlett is one of those guys also who you thought maybe would get pushed, hasn't got pushed, but we also got to see how Jacob Martin's used. Is Jacob Martin just going to be a pass rushing specialist, or is that extra 21 pounds that he's put on, is that 21 pounds going to allow him to be on the field more in not just obvious pass situations?
All right, so on Brennan Scarlett, to me, he epitomizes this Texans roster outside of the very few stars that they have. Just a good player. I mean, but a guy that's been pretty secure in his job. He's not going to wow you, but he's a good player and he's secure. That's kind of the rest of the roster outside of Deshaun and a couple of other players here and there. Zach Cunningham, JJ, et cetera. Grenard, I'm with you. I'm starting to wonder if he's even going to be active once the season starts. And beyond that, I mean, Jacob Martin has gotten more run than A.J. Moore. I mean, Jacob Martin, they're raving about it. Anthony Weaver, we heard it right on our show, just talking about all the versatility, all the different ways they're going to use him and all the different, skills that he has. I mean, maybe it's a sales job because he came over, you know, in the Clowney trade and had 3.5 sacks last year and was kind of a one-trick pony, you know, a third-down guy. Put on that weight, as you mentioned. They're going to try to make him a two- or three-down backer, but who knows? But they're raving about him right now.
They're raving about him. I mean, they're raving about a lot of guys. And you just wonder when they're raving about these guys, is that an example of players just taking significant steps, or is that just an example of really not a lot of options on defense?
Right.
I mean, that's the thing. A.J. Moore's played 20 snaps. I mean, 20 snaps of defense the last 2 years. Jacob Martin was just a guy that you'd put out there in third down and say, see ball, get ball. So they are raving about him, but you got to wonder, is that because those guys have just taken that big of a step in their
politics
that much better, or is it because the defense is so thin and a defense that was last in third down and last in red zone is just even just as thin as we thought it would be? Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. We're going to get you ready for the Texans season like nobody else. Starting Sunday, we are going to have the longest pregame show ever. 100 straight hours of Texans coverage. At nights, we're going to be replaying the four best games from last season. You're going to revisit the game in Kansas City during the regular season. Not the playoffs, the regular season one, where the Texans won the game. We're going to go to Tennessee, where Kenny Stills scored the first two touchdowns. Texans ended up winning that game. The four best games, we're going to start it with a player's war room on Sunday. 100 hours wall-to-wall Texans coverage to get you ready for the historic J-Lo. And I mean historic season opener Thursday in Kansas City.
Absolutely. Celebrity keys to the game we're going to have. You're going to be surprised. Some of the people are going to hop on with all our shows here. We're going to have big interviews throughout the week as well. I mean, it's 100 hours, man. And a lot of people want to be a part of this. And obviously the listeners can be a part of it. And you talk about historic. Everyone's watching this game. You're a football fan. You're watching Texans Chiefs. You're going to, if nothing else, just curiosity. What's it going to look like with very few or no fans after the opener in some cases? And how, you know, no preseason. We are in the midst of a pandemic. We are not getting any football otherwise. You know, college football is starting later in the month. This is it. This is the grand unveiling, and the Houston Texans are going to be at center stage, man.
We got you covered. 100 hours. It's going to be a lot of work, but we are up for it, and it is a great time to be alive, historic time here in H-Town. Speaking of the Texans, we know they're kicking off the season, but there are other games going on. Let's put those games on your radar. It's going to be a very eventful week one in the NFL. Let's go around and look at the other stuff going on that might impact the Houston Texans and might shape the league up as it begins next week. Football Friday continues next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. We know the Texans are opening the season on Thursday. Here's Bill O'Brien talking about the honor of playing the first game amidst everything we got going on in the offseason.
Thursday night opener, yeah, it has its advantages. Obviously, it's the only game, and guys are really, you know, excited to play in the game, and it's going to be a historic game. I mean, you think about, you know, this game being played during a pandemic with everything that this league has gone through to get to this point. It's a privilege and an honor to play in this game.
Yeah, I mean, you can't add a whole lot to that other than what we're talking about, you know, just right before we went to break, how all eyes, man, if you want to put, you want to impress people, you want to put a stake in the ground, you want to show people, hey, I know, we all hear about Chiefs and Ravens, you know, we heard about it, we got beat by the Chiefs last year, we got run out the gym, so to speak, in the second half, but this year's different. Then do it in that game, man. That's why it's not just historic because of everything that we know that's surrounding the game, but you could make yourself a real contender with a statement here.
All eyes will be on Texans versus Chiefs, but that's not the only game. And I want to put these games on our radar because it is Football Friday, and we've been so focused on Texans Chiefs that we haven't really paid as much attention to the other games that are going on. So let's just go through them and talk about the implications around these games, starting in the AFC South, the Indianapolis Colts versus the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville. Obviously, two different approaches here. The Colts with a new quarterback, a running back duo that we want to take a look at, a new defense with DeForest Buckner added. They trade a first-round pick for him. They're going all in. They're trying to bounce back. They're trying to make up for what went wrong last year when Andrew Luck retired, everyone got hurt. They're going to Jacksonville to face a Jags team that, by most accounts, is not even trying to win. This one's going to be interesting. A lot of times when you don't expect it, though, the team that you think's trying to lose in this league, they end up pulling off the upset. Any chance that happens with the Jacksonville Jags?
Man, you did a really good job trying to sell that. I'm really proud of how you tried to. I almost bought it. You know, in fact, even though I know better, I almost bought it. This is a W for the Indianapolis Colts. This, on week one, is going to be one of those games where everybody's going to pick the Colts. Everyone's going to be right. But one thing that is intriguing about this game, we talked about it when the NFL schedules came out, Landry, and that is the reason the Texans have to at least get one of these first two games is because the Colts and the, I believe the Titans have relatively easier schedules. Colts have a much easier start to the season than Texans, so you don't want to be playing catch-up right away.
Monday Night Football. This is going to be that Game 2 doubleheader, how they always have the Game 1 doubleheader. Yeah. This is also in the division. Now, this one's interesting. You have the Tennessee Titans coming off an appearance in the AFC Championship game. They're basically running it back. 10 of 11 starters on offense. Defensively, you don't know if Mike Vrabel's going to call the offense. You don't know if he's going to let his assistant call the offense. And they're facing a Denver Broncos team that disappointed last year, but they paid a lot of attention to increasing their speed on offense. They added Melvin Gordon. They added Jerry Jeudy in the draft. Drew Locke's going to be in his second year. This is an interesting game. This is one of those games where both of these teams have playoff hopes. Going to be interesting to see how the Titans open the season coming off the run they made last year.
Yeah, and you have to really cheer for Denver here if you're a Texans fan because of that, because of what I just talked about, how the Colts and the Titans have a relatively easier start to the season. Well, not here, not in the opener for Tennessee. They're at Denver. It's the second Monday night game. And I'm with you on Denver. That's a team trending in the right direction.
Browns at Ravens. Last year, everybody was really high on the Browns. Feel like people are sleeping on the Browns this year. I wasn't drinking the Kool-Aid last year. I think it's possible that they could be better this year, but they're going to Baltimore to face a Baltimore team, one of the best in the NFL. Lamar Jackson coming off an MVP season. They've added Calais Campbell to the defense on offense. They've added Devin Duvernay as well as J.K. Dobbins. Browns looking to get off to a good start. Baker Mayfield, I don't want to call this a make or break year, but this is a huge year for Baker Mayfield. Browns at Ravens, one team with Super Bowl hopes, another team hoping to end a playoff drought.
This is one where if I'm a Browns fan, I wouldn't read too much into the result unless it's an absolute blowout. Ravens are one of the two best teams in the conference, and the Browns are, I agree with you, I think going to be a much better team than last year. I was buying them last year. You were not. In fact, you were not only not buying them, you were saying exactly how it would turn out. I mean, you were saying this is fool's gold here. But I'm buying them this year. But, yeah, they can't beat the Ravens, and I think you can't judge too much when they lose to the Ravens.
Buffalo, team that had the Texans against the ropes in the playoffs last year. They added Stephon Diggs in the offseason. Still one of the best defenses in the NFL. Ed Oliver in his second season looking to make that leap that a lot of guys do in their second year. The Jets could be the last year for Adam Gase. Sam Darnold does not have mono to start the season, it looks like. So there is progress there. Big year for the Bills. I'm keeping my eye on the Jets, though. I know things haven't gone well, but I'm keeping a close eye on the Jets, specifically Sam Darnold, to see what this team is like. But Buffalo, I heard someone talking about it the other day. It's a championship roster with a quarterback that you don't know what his ceiling is.
I think everyone is sleeping on Josh Allen. I you know, the third leading rusher, I believe, among quarterbacks last year behind Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson. We know those guys. And not only that, but he's a quarterback. I mean, he's a good quarterback. I think everybody's sleeping on him, and now he's got Stephon Diggs aboard. I like this Bills team. They were called a surprise playoff team last year. They're not a surprise this year.
Bills the favorite in the AFC East. We're used to the Patriots carrying that. Patriots going to start the season at home against the Miami Dolphins. Don't know what to expect from the Dolphins. Really don't know what to expect. They spent a lot of money this offseason. Tua is healthy. He's probably not going to start the season as the starter. It's probably going to be a familiar face, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Going to be interesting to see what Cam Newton does. He was named the starter yesterday by Bill Belichick. The debut of Cam Newton and a look at the Miami Dolphins in their opener.
Yeah, very, very intriguing game. This is one you just have to watch to see where Cam Newton is, what kind of how they're using him, et cetera, et cetera. Dolphins, I mean, they're not – you know, they're not good, obviously, but they've got some interesting parts, and we'll see how that plays out as well.
Chargers at Bengals. This one's interesting. Tyrod Taylor versus who? Keep an eye on this one. I don't know that either one of these teams are really contenders, but
Joe Burrow, man.
I'm not sleeping on the Bengals completely. I think yeah. they were in some close games last year. Keep an eye on that. To the NFC, Packers at Vikings. You're always very high on the Vikings. Disappointing offseason for Aaron Rodgers. He wanted a receiver. They didn't give him one. But he's facing the Vikings team with Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen. They no longer have Diggs there. But the Minnesota Vikings, I know you're very high on what the Vikings can do.
Yeah, I wouldn't say always, but I was last year, and I am again this year. Keep in mind, this is two playoff teams. This is probably the best game that we'll have in terms of just competitiveness and how even they are. This is going to be a terrific game to watch, and it's an old-time rivalry as well, which is always going to make it more interesting.
Philadelphia Eagles at Washington to face the Redskins. The football team. I'm sorry. I got to get used to that. The Washington football team, the debut of the Washington football team. Also another debut, the Las Vegas Raiders. They travel to Carolina to face the Panthers. So they're not opening that new stadium quite yet. John Gruden in Vegas will go to Carolina. Tampa Bay at New Orleans. This is the game of the week for me. You're talking about a New Orleans Saints team that appears to be all in. They appear to be pursuing Jadeveon Clowney against a Tampa Bay team led by Tom Brady. It's going to be weird to see Tom Brady in that uniform with the Bucs. It's going to be weird to see Gronk. But I expect this to be a good game with a lot of storylines, a lot of intrigue, starting with the most important position, the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, talk about marquee players at the quarterback position. Then you got Mike Evans, you got Rob Gronkowski. I mean, this is a headliner, no question about it.
Seattle at Atlanta. Atlanta Falcons been kind of a disappointment since they made the Super Bowl right here at NRG, facing the Seattle Seahawks team led by Russell Wilson. That one will be interesting. Bears at Lions, yawn. Arizona at San Francisco. Arizona made the trade
on,
for
Kyler.
DeAndre Hopkins. It's Kyler
on,
Murray's
DeAndre.
Second year. They're going to San Francisco to face the defending NFC champs. Another good football game. And then Sunday nights, under the Los Angeles lights, the Dallas Cowboys versus the Rams and Sean McVay. And then the first game on Monday night, the Pittsburgh Steelers at New York. to face the Giants. A lot of games. We're just putting them on your radar here on a Football Friday. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. A fearless matchup between the Rockets and the Lakers. A historic matchup between the Texans and Chiefs. Plus, the baseball messiah, he's back. Kinda. Hits are lit next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals. The tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Big day for the Houston Rockets. 8 o'clock tonight. Game 1, Rockets versus Lakers. First meeting with LeBron James. This will be the second time, however, James Harden and Russell Westbrook have met LeBron. They actually met in the 2012 NBA Finals. Thunder actually won Game 1 of that. They lost the next four. Here's LeBron James talking about facing the Rockets. We know they play small ball. We know it's a unique style. Not sure the Kings so impressed with that.
It's five guys versus five guys. It's basketball. It's not the first time I've went against five guys that shoot threes in my basketball life. So I've played against all different types of lineups before since I started playing basketball when I was 9 years old. So it's nothing strange about it. It is what it is, and we have to prepare for it, and we have to be great every night in order to win. And if we're not, we'll lose. It's that simple.
Okay, there we go. Break it down for me, LeBron.
It's funny. He also went on to say, listen, man, how many 6'10 big men shoot the threes in today's NBA? Shoot threes in today's NBA. Anthony Davis and our guys are going to, you know, be used to having to run out. I think what the biggest problem that the small ball lineup gives opposition is just the way that they can manipulate the switches and get the big guy on someone who can't go run out on a three pointer. You know, get him off of the 6'6 center, 6'7. P.J. Tucker, whatever he is. That's the problem. That's what the Lakers are going to have to counter. You know, how are they manipulating us? Are we just going to – they're just going to have to get through screens, and they're going to have to also just put the pressure on the Rockets, you know, offensively. So I think that's what LeBron is saying. Look, the guy's seen it all. I mean, he's not – it sounded like he was kind of downplaying small ball. I think he's just saying, dudes, man, I've seen it all. I'm LeBron.
Here's P.J. Tucker talking about guarding Anthony Davis, because that's something that he's going to have to do. He's also going to have to guard LeBron. You heard LeBron downplay things. P.J. Tucker's taking the exact same approach.
Well, it's no different. For me, it's the same. I've guarded Anthony Davis every time I played him since the beginning of Tennessee First came in the league and been in New Orleans. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I want Tucker on the floor when Anthony Davis is. There's no question about that. It's not going to be easy, but he's the guy that I would want, you know, in that role just because of the way he plays, how tough he is. I mean, veteran, all that stuff.
Rockets were seconds away from the Mike D'Antoni era ending. I don't think that's probably the worst-kept secret going. Here is Mike D'Antoni talking about the defensive matchups between the Rockets and the L.A. Lakers.
Our matchups go kind of out the window once they start moving around a little bit and we start switching. So everybody will get their shot at everybody. And it's going to be a team thing. And it's going to be, again, the fight spirit that we have tomorrow and how we react to situations. But if we run around and we're all together on a string, we'll be fine.
This is also a series, Landry, that I don't think you can judge anything into the regular season matchups. So much has changed. The Rockets beat him in the bubble once, I think, by 10 points, and that was impressive. But LeBron didn't play. I don't think Russell Westbrook played for the Rockets in that one, if I remember it correctly. And then they split the other two. I just throw it all out the window. They're going to give each other different looks. He's talking about playing on a string. In other words, everything outside the three-point line, they're just switching everything. It's going to be so fun to watch, both these teams.
The bubble games have all been wild. They've been crazy. The most wild one last night, Celtics had the Raptors on the ropes. They already had a 2-0 series lead. They were up late with less than a second remaining. Raptors end up hitting a corner three for the win. Kyle Lowry, former Houston Rocket, with the shot. Afterwards, the podium critic displays by both sides were elite. This is what you do at a playoff podium. Jaylen Brown was closing out on the game-winning shot by Lowry, the guard for the Celtics. Here's what he had to say about letting Lowry sneak into the corner and give the Raptors some life.
Got to be better as a unit, regardless of what we was in. You know, we had to guard the three-point line. So that was just a disgrace at the end of the game. That was just terrible. No way we should have lost that game. I take responsibility for that, not just that play, but, you know, a lot of the plays before. It happens. It's the NBA playoffs. Either you, you know, let it gain momentum or you come back and be ready to play next game.
What was it again? What kind of
an effing disgrace is what he said. Here's former Rocket Kyle Lowry, who hit the shot, talking about the two keys to him giving the Raptors some life.
Obviously, I got balls of steel. That's one. Two, just trying to win the game. That's where you find the energy at. And, you know, that's what that was. Just trying to win the game. No gas at all. My balls of steel and just win.
If you didn't hear me the first time, I'm going to go ahead and say it again.
Balls of steel. Two things that will help you in situations like that. Series at 2-1 now. Rockets versus Lakers, 8 o'clock. Texans in 6 days against the Kansas City Chiefs. Justin Reed, my gosh, he's buying into what B.O.B. is selling. Get the cliche bell ready, Figgy, because Justin Reed's about to hit you with them, talking about the keys to the game in 6 days in Kansas City.
This has been an off season, and it will be a season like no other that we may not even be able to see again, at least in my lifetime. Hopefully not. But it's definitely a unique situation from just how the daily life in the building is, all the COVID protocols to make sure that we're all staying safe and healthy. No or limited fans in the stadium, to there being no pumped in audio noise and all that. It's definitely the most unique experience in all season I've ever had in any level of playing ball. I think it's going to be remembered because of that. The first game of the season on Thursday night, in addition to all of the social justice that's also happening at the same time too, this has just been like a melting pot of a bunch of unique experiences that I think will be unforgettable.
Man, I couldn't have said it better myself. In fact, you know, Bill O'Brien was talking about that as well, and Justin Reed and Bill O'Brien both brought up the social justice stuff as well, which I basically just omitted, forgot, you know, when I was talking about all the impact that this game is and why so many people are going to be watching. That's a factor. That's going to be a part of it as well. The NFL has gotten behind it. It's just going to be one of those nights that we're all going to remember for a long, long time.
And we're going to build up to it. 100 hours of Texans-Chiefs coverage. It is the largest pregame show ever. Exclusive content you won't get anywhere else. It's going to start Sunday at 2, a little Players War Room hosted by moi, Seth Payne, Clint Sterner, Wade Smith, Ooh. Cecil Shorts. Going to join the show. Each night we're going to replay the best Texans wins from last year. Commercial free, exclusive interviews, celebrity keys to the game. It's going to be a lot. It's going to be 100 hours building up to Texans versus Chiefs. A former Houston Texan, Jadeveon Clowney, he is being pursued by not one, but two teams. And it's going to happen this weekend. We already knew the Titans were interested, but now it looks like the New Orleans Saints are going all in recruiting the former Texans outside linebacker, almost like he was recruited by the old ball coach at South Carolina. Here is Mike G of NFL Network with the latest on Clowney.
Once we got close to training camp, Clowney said, you know what, I'm going to take my time and sign right before week one. So the expectation is it's going to be soon, and the Titans and Saints are amongst the teams making some of the stronger pushes for Clowney right now. I'll also add this. The Saints have gone to their veteran guys that have some big numbers to say, if we need to rework your deal in the coming days, can you work with us? That tells you that they are making a run at Clowney, who's probably going to wind up signing a one-year deal at a big number. So you need the cap space to make that happen. So the fact that the Saints are making preparations tells you that they are confident they are going to land Jadeveon Clowney in the coming days.
It's going to be a battle, and it is going to be a big number, Landry, because the Titans, it's kind of like college football recruiting. A lot of recruits go with the team that has been there the whole time. Since the start of their junior year, they've been offering a scholarship, right? Well, since the very, very start of this, the Tennessee Titans haven't gone anywhere. I don't think they're going to go down without a fight. I think it's going to be a big number because the Saints all of a sudden are in it to win it and to get Clowney on their squad. They're sending coaches, dude. They're sending coaches to try to pitch him, why the Saints would be the better team. It's going to be an interesting day because it's got to happen today or early tomorrow.
Yeah, it has to if he wants to play. I think the Titans might make a final effort. I think that the New Orleans Saints, it appears they're going all in trying to get Clowney on the field this week, which, by the way, even if he's on the field 15, 20 snaps, he's going to be chasing Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks. So talk about all eyes being on number 90 or whatever number he'll be out there. Texans, they're also working hard with Deshaun Watson per Ian Rapoport on a contract extension. The understanding by Rap is that it's going to be in line with Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers' deal as opposed to Chiefs QB Patrick Mahomes. So not the 10-year deal, but some five-ish type deal for Deshaun Watson is what Rapoport projects.
Interesting. So it's not going to be a three-year deal like John McClain said. It's going to be a few years longer than that is what you're telling me.
That's what Rap's telling you.
Yeah, that's what Rap's telling me. Who's been saying that? Who's been on an island about, I think it's going to be six or seven maybe, but who's been on that island all by themselves saying it makes more sense to go a little longer?
Be the OG John Lopez.
Damn right it would be.
Washington's football team is releasing legendary running back Adrian Peterson. You know where this is going. You know the text line going nuts. John Lopez adding fuel to that fire. J-Lo
I'm a fanboy now, man.
You're 35 years old. Come on down. Get the tough yards for the Houston Texans.
I'm the guy that kind of, points and laughs, so to speak, when anybody comes available at any point and people are like, we should sign him. Let's sign him. And you don't have the money. Maybe the roster is full at that position, blah, blah, blah. But, anytime a big name player comes available, it always seems like everybody wants him. I'm that dude with Adrian Peterson. I wasn't that dude with Fournette. You guys know that. But I think even at 35, keep in mind, he had 900 yards just under 900 yards rushing last year at 34. He had, I think, 150 or so receiving. So he was over 1,000 in total yards last year. Normally, I would never touch a 35-year-old running back with, I think, 10 or 11,000 touches in his career. Maybe it's not that much, but a lot of touches in his career. But he's just different. He's a different athlete. He's a different breed. I think there's certainly, some benefits of coming down here. He lives in the woodlands. That's an incentive. If he can accept that role, and that's the biggest if. That's your biggest question about it. But if he can accept that role, you're not going to be a workhorse. You're not even going to be our starter. Then maybe the Texans would have a chance, and he'd be perfect for this squad.
Adrian Peterson trying to find a job. Frank Gore has a job. He is 37 years old, and he is ageless. He is top three all-time in the NFL in rushing. He's still a very productive player for his age, especially considering the injuries he had coming into the league. Tore his ACL at Miami. And yesterday, as I'm watching college football, my gosh, it was nice to see some D1 college football. Until I felt old as balls, because making his debut for Southern Mississippi was who?
The true freshman running back for the Southern Miss Golden Eagles, Frank Gore Jr. 5'8 with tremendous vision, Frank Gore.
Across the board, the coaches told us this isn't your typical true freshman.
Welcome to my world, Landry Locker. I don't know how many times I've gone, oh, man, I covered his dad. There might be some grandkids out there now for me. That might be a stretch. But, yeah, man, it's weird. You're like, wait a minute, that's Frank Gore Jr. What's even weirder is Frank Gore still playing.
Yeah, normally whenever you see a son go out there, you have – the dad in the stands with a beer belly, looking like he played 20 years ago or something like that, not getting ready for a freaking football game of his own in 10 days. Just absolutely nuts.
What if they go Griffey and Griffey Jr.?
Well, I guess that counts. But football's a little bit different.
I'm saying, what if they do that? They actually play in the pros together.
You tell me Frank Gore plays three more years tops and then a fourth? Might have to have him pee in a cup if that starts to happen. Colts and center Ryan Kelly, they agree on a four-year extension worth $50 million. $34 million in guarantees. He's now the highest-paid center in the NFL. Cam Newton, he's the starting QB for the New England Patriots. Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels announced that yesterday in a team meeting. Of course, the Patriots come to town in November. Astros 8-4 win yesterday. Zach Greinke, 455th career start, which is the most among active MLB starters. He passed Justin Verlander, who has 454. Zach Greinke just catching up to Verlander as he's on the disabled list, or the injured list, I should say. Tonight, 8-10 first pitch, Lance McCullers is going to be on the mound. Dusty Baker said Jose Altuve going to get an MRI on his knee. His spike got caught on the corner of third base when he slid into it yesterday in the first inning. Two games back of the A's, 8.5 up on the second spot in the AL West. 24 games left to play, J-Lo.
How about that? The key thing there, well, you mentioned two key things, but two games back. It's a race, man. It's a race all of a sudden in the division. Greinke was fine, more than fine. And then the other point would be Altuve. Day-to-day, as we're sitting here right now, the latest update this morning is he's listed as day-to-day. Man, just when they're getting healthy, this happens.
Elidmys Diaz with a three-run shot yesterday, four runs in the first. Could the baseball messiah be back? Here's Alex Bregman himself. That's his government name, Alex Bregman, but he is known on the baseball messiah as the baseball messiah on this program. Here is the messiah talking about his potential return.
I mean, hopefully as soon as possible. Everything's been going extremely well. I've ran up to 100%, taking swings, taking ground balls, feel good doing all of it. Just trying to listen to our training staff's advice, but I feel good, feel strong, especially in that hamstring. I feel really, really good. The team doctors, the PTs, people down in Corpus, everybody has helped out a ton.
Messiah. They've got a road trip coming up. You got to believe Bregman is going to be a part of that, and not a minute too soon, considering especially Altuve and some of the other things going on.
And I mean, you got Brad Peacock coming back, Devinsky coming back. Don't know what we're going to get from Devinsky. Really don't know what we're going to get from Peacock. Jose Urquidy, by the way, going to start one of the games for the doubleheader on Saturday, assuming there are no setbacks. So they didn't make a trade at the deadline, but there are some good things going on for the Houston Astros and some guys coming back, and they're in the driver's seat when it comes to making the playoffs. Again, I don't think anything would be more rewarding for a Houston sports fan than for the Astros to win a World Series this year, which is a long shot, but once you get in the playoffs, especially in this format, it can get crazy. And for that World Series to be won in Arlington at the Rangers' new stadium before fans can even enter it. Can you imagine the taste of sweetness around here if that happened?
Just put a stake in the middle of it. Go Baker Mayfield. After you win the World Series, put an Astros flag in the middle of the field. And it'll be there when the fans finally get in.
You also got, of course, the Texans in 6 days. We're going to get you ready for that. There is a watch party presented by HEB out there at NRG. It's going to be drive-in movie theater style, which is extremely intriguing. It was supposed to only be for season ticket holders, but we got the last parking spot for you. 3:45 is when you need to listen to Clint and Show. Between 3:45 and 4, they will give you a chance to win that final parking spot. Not going to be fans at NRG early on, but you can be a fan in attendance for the Texans' historical, and I mean historical, matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs on Thursday. Pat Mahomes, Deshaun Watson. If you want to get hyped for that, let's hear Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes hype you up for it. A good old hype video. Not the best of acting by Deshaun Watson, but who cares? Who cares? You can't do it all. Here is the hype video, courtesy of NBC, with Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson getting you ready for Thursday.
Hey, Deshaun, you think this is fair, man?
What's not fair, Pat?
You know, starting the season, playing each other. I mean, people haven't had football in forever, and suddenly it's going to be like...
Got a man! Touchdown! Look out! Tyreek Hill! Come on!
Nah, I think it'd be more like...
There he goes!
Agree to disagree.
I guess we'll find out on the 10th.
Does that get you hype?
Yeah. I mean, seeing them got me hyped. I mean, we're going to be watching two of the best. But I don't know if Zach Greinke would like their acting skills, storytelling skills. I just don't.
I think Deshaun gets paid today or this weekend. I think it happens. I think Deshaun Watson Monday. Gets that deal. You say Monday,
announced
I say today.
Monday.
It will happen very soon. And we'll have the latest for you, Sports Radio 610, longest pregame show, 100 hours leading up to kickoff. Starts Sunday at 2 with little players' war room with yours truly. It is a historic time around here. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. The final shaping of the Texans roster is upon us. We will look ahead to that as well as the matchup between the Rockets and the Lakers. Game one in 8 hours in the Loop lunchtime on a Friday next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.